Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about what happens when you crack your knuckles. Well, when you hear other people's knuckles crack, there's this uncomfortable sound. It makes people feel pretty icky, I think, when they hear other people's knuckles crack. And when people crack their own knuckles, they often say, look, it feels a great sense of relief. So what is happening when a knuckle cracks? Is it, in fact, a crack, something breaking, or not? What's going on? Why is something which is normally flexible and silent suddenly producing a noise? Well, the answer turns out to be fairly simple. When you crack a knuckle, you, in general, or your toes or a finger, you crack it by extending it, by actually creating a extension thing. So you have pull against your finger or bring your hands down and stretch them, and the stretching of the joints themselves suddenly do a little cracking sound. And all the joints crack with pretty much the same volume of noise, whether it be your knee or multiple fingers. And what happens is, as the pressure goes from finger to finger, you hear crack, 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 or the reduction of pressure. And what's happening is that between your joints, you're reducing the pressure extremely between the joints. And as the pressure reduces, a fluid inside the joints undergoes very low pressure. And when the pressure drops, the vapor pressure at which a bubble can form increases. The temperature at which this can do suddenly drops, and if it's body temperature, the liquid suddenly violently turns into a gas, and so you have a bubble forming inside your joints, and this makes the pop. So it's actually mechanically nothing is really happening, but the bubble actually moves. So let's look at a bit more about what's actually going on and an experiment that we can do down the track. So the first thing is that inside your fingers particularly are bones. There's several finger bones. You can count them as you go across. The bone with your finger nail on it, a bone there, middle bone, and a bone which connects to your knuckles. And the knuckles then connect through other bones to your wrists. And there's a series there. There's actually quite a large number of bones in that area. Some of the most bones in the human body. Now the entire area has muscles, but the muscles are tucked back in the skin and back in the actual arm itself. And the muscles are actually pulled by these sinuous fibers called tendons, and the tendons form a sort of a flattened string, and the flattened string is in a tube, much like a bike brake cable is in a protective tube. These tendons are in a protective tube, and you pull them. Muscle further up the arm pulls it, and your finger can actually move. So your fingers are, in fact, operated by a form of puppetry, that is, strings through guides which actually go through there. So your fingers are for picking things up, they're little talons, but the muscles are actually stored elsewhere. So if you turn a finger, there's very few muscles inside, and you would, I suppose, know that if you go through and eat or prepare or dissect chicken's feet, there's a fair number of tendons in there. But what goes on with the muscle cracking is another type of thing, and there's ligaments. Now we'll talk about ligaments. Ligaments are the same as the tendons in terms of that they link to the bone, but a tendon links a muscle to the bone, and then a bone to the muscle, and a muscle to the bone. So a bone-to-bone connection via a muscle. So when the muscle contracts, the bones feel a pressure between them. So that's how a tendon works. A ligament is just a bone-to-bone compression. So you have all these ligaments in your bone riding over the surface of any joint there, sort of constraining the joint going across. And so the flexibility of the joint depends on the ligaments. I think there's something that people talk about all the time, a cruciate ligament at the back of your knee bone, at the back of your knee, but also you have a hamstring, a series of tendons, which we call strings. Now, the Aboriginals, its source of strings were the tendons in the back, the long set of tendons in the back of a kangaroo's tail. Those are particularly long tendons you can pull out, and that's a meter or so of very strong material. Another example of tendons used is in dinosaurs. The dinosaurs had a series of tendons holding their tail outright. So if you saw a stegosaurus or some other dinosaur, their tail would tend to wave about and not just flop downwards, because there's a series of tendons on their spines pulling things up. But tendons and ligaments. Tendons to move the tail, but ligaments to constrain the bones such that the dinosaur tails waved and fluttered about just as a multi-jointed crane, so to speak. Also in the necks of various animals, like the ancient brontosaurus, which has gone away now. So they're tendons, and ligaments are between bones. Now the important thing is that your tendons and ligaments are slightly elastic. This is important. This elastic property is important because it stores the energy, can store energy and diffuse shocks. They can act as a bit of a shock absorber, so they diffuse and store energy. The tendons can actually stretch and store energy. So when you're walking, a lot of your energy in walking is being a sprung. In a sense, it's very sprung. As your foot goes down, the tendon can, or the ligaments, tendons can actually stretch and store energy as you're walking. So if you didn't have your tendons to store the energy, walking would be very inefficient and you'd lose energy very, very quickly. You'd get tired very quickly. But the important thing is that ligaments are this an array of ligaments, counteracting ligaments, which limit the movement of your fingers here. So you'll notice that your fingers, say the fingers in the joints, can move in a certain direction, but after a certain amount of time, the actual joints lock and you can't move further forward. Now, the actual restriction for moving your fingers back is a ligament at the underneath of your finger, which can't extend any further, but you can actually extend those by actually curling your finger backwards and extend those ligaments. So there's a lot of exercises and stretching to slowly unlock and unravel the hamstrings, the tendons and ligaments. Well, the ligaments come into play in terms of that they normally apply a positive pressure between joints, and in between joints they would grind unless there was this thing called a synovial sac. This bag, which is actually filled with a lubricant, liquid called the synovial liquid. So there's a gland which produces it and a gland which extracts it, which keeps the amount of synovial fluid or the synovial pressure up. So the fluid in the back has to be sufficient such that under normal pressure, the two sides of the bag can't stick. So I'm not asking you to do this, but imagine that you had a Ziploc bag, a small Ziploc bag, and you put some oil in it. You can suddenly very much quickly move the bag flat, and you can actually run your fingers and move the bag back and forth. So what's happening here, between every joint is a sac of synovial fluid, which allows the joints to move freely. It's not the low coefficient of friction of the cartilage. The cartilage has a function of absorbing shock and moving and being a soft surface for the joints to move around in. But the joints also move around in a softer still synovial sac. It's the sac is sealed and it's connected to either side of the bone in a joint. So as you pull back on a joint, you actually decrease the pressure in the synovial fluid to a point where the volume can suddenly expand and a bubble, the water becomes superheated, or the synovial fluid becomes superheated, and the reduction pressure is such that a bubble is formed, and this rapid formation of a bubble is it's to do with low pressure, and we'll go back and discussing it. Now, of course, as soon as you increase the pressure, the bubble disappears, so you can keep on cracking your liquid, and it doesn't exert any greater pressure on there. However, there is a sense of relief. Now, the sense of release is not to do with the synovial, as far as I know, the synovial sac, which is your lubrication sac. Going back again, you get a Ziploc sandwich bag, pour in some oil, reseal it, and realize how much easier it is to move things about. So it's sort of like a sealed lubrication joint between every single joint. So we've got a series of things. One of the things that can happen is that the fluid is produced and the fluid is drained out on a more fairly constant basis, but the drain may stop, and so the fluid builds up, slowly pumps up more and more and more. And there are these pictures of in YouTube of people draining their synovial fluid, a sort of large lump in the tree on their knee. They put in a needle and a hypodermic needle, and it just pours out a fairly high pressure. So what is the sense of relief people have when they crack their knuckles? Well, they are actually stretching the tendons around the muscle, and these tendons can become high pressure over time, and over time they can seize up and be hard, so you're actually just stretching the tendon. So the knuckle cracking is really not related to the actual sense of relief from stretching your tendons. And I think studies have shown that cracking knuckles does not over time increase the risk of arthritis. Now, as far as I understand, arthritis is an autoimmune disease which attacks the cartilage of the bone. This is a soft shock absorber of the bone. So this is a thing that if you reduce the pressure, you can actually decrease the boiling temperature, and the bubble will suddenly form, an explosive bubble will form explosively, and the shock wave will travel out as a sound wave. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.